This is All Things ANSYS, a podcast from the technical support staff at PADT. Episode 84, Meshing Improvements in ANSYS 2021 R1, and a review of ANSYS news and events. Welcome to another episode of the All Things ANSYS podcast. I'm your host, Eric Miller, one of the owners here at PDT. I don't know about you, but we've been following the progress of vaccinations here in the U.S. as well as around the world. And what an amazing scientific, manufacturing, and logistical undertaking. And although it certainly has not been smooth as we approach the end of the third month of 2021, it's going much better than I personally expected. It's just been fantastic to see it progress. It was just about a year ago that we released episode 59 of this podcast, where I talked about how PADT was about 80% work from home. I still remember thinking and saying that we only needed to do this for a few months. You know, June or July, we'll be back in the office. We'll have everything under control. And some of you are in countries where you were able to get it under control. Here in the U.S., we flattened the curve quite a bit, but not enough to get it to the point where we get back to normal. In fact, we've had some very scary high numbers, and sometimes the highest in the world here in Arizona. But we've been lucky at PADT. Some of our employees have lost loved ones, which is very sad and something we deal with every day. But many of us are getting vaccinated now or have completed the process. I personally will be returning to work from the office in a week. The next podcast may actually be recorded from PADT, unless I'm running late and I do it on the weekend from home. The reason why I brought up the one-year anniversary is I wanted to thank all of you, our listeners, for sticking with us as the world turned upside down. Doing these every 2 weeks, talking to users, ANSYS employees, and PADT engineers has helped make this time of physical isolation much more bearable. We hope that through it all, our little podcast has been some comfort and maybe some escape. Okay, so let's dive into our next topic. Today we're going to talk with Joe Woodward about one of the more popular things on the podcast, meshing. And in this particular episode, we're going to talk about meshing in mechanical and what's new in the latest release.
I'm waiting for the little message to come up. I guess there it goes. Okay. Welcome to another discussion with one of PDT's engineers, Joe Woodward, to talk about this time meshing in ANSYS Mechanical at 2021 R1. So a lot of ones in there. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. I have pretty much the same problem every time I say 2021 R1. Yeah. I have to slow everything down to be able to say it right.
It's a tongue twister. Yeah, and we'll do the same thing when we get to 2022 R2, right? Exactly. So today we're talking about meshing, which of course is everybody's favorite topic, at least by the number of people who listen to the podcast or go to our webinars. Everybody cares about meshing. So we'll just jump right into it. Actually, in case we have some new listeners, I've been skipping this recently, but why don't you introduce yourself and explain a little bit more about your background and what you do at PADT?
Okay. So I'm Joe Woodward. I'm the senior mechanical engineer and lead trainer is my title. I help coordinate all the training and do a lot of the teaching itself. I've been at PADT for almost 20 years. And I started my career at Boeing and at Rocketdyne with nonlinear analysis of the space shuttle engines. So that was fun.
That's really cool. Yeah, I forgot about that. You did start as a rocket scientist. Yeah,
right.
That's true. Yeah, it's and I had to gasp a little bit. It's been 20 years, but it has been close to it. So, Yeah, it's incredible how time flies, and how meshing has improved.
Oh yes. We even
talk about what it was like meshing those parts you were doing at Boeing back then.
Yes, exactly.
It's come such a long way, and the mechanical platform especially has made meshing so much easier. So, of the enhancements, what's the, if somebody stops listening after this next statement, what's the most important thing they need to know about meshing enhancements at 2021? Well, R1.
At 2021, oh, R1.
R1.
my favorite enhancement personally is still the mesh copy that came a couple of versions ago that allows you to control your mesh on one part. And then if that part's repeated, just make a copy of that mesh to all the other parts. So if you have a turbine blade, and you spend a lot of time getting one to mesh just the way you want it, then you can copy that mesh to all the other blades and not have to actually have it mesh each one. So that's still my favorite. But in 2021, R1, I would say probably the mesh freeze and unfreeze is kind of the big new one that allows you to lock the mesh the way you want it. And then if your geometry changes a little bit or something else changes, it doesn't have to go back and remesh those parts. It'll just keep the mesh that was there. And the controls for that mesh also get locked down, so you don't have to worry about, you know, accidentally changing the wrong control or something.
And, oh, good.
You know, if you have a big assembly, that happens once in a while. You go and change something, you realize, oh, that was on the other part. And now you got to remesh both, type of thing. So I think that's kind of my favorite.
When I look through the notes, I agree. To me, that was one of those ones where, you know, I think when I was meshing a lot more than I do now, I would make mistakes like that all the time and have to go back and try and get the mesh that I really liked back. And so the ability to freeze this is going to be really nice, and not accidentally change them is critical, and should help go meshing faster too. I mean, one of the things that one can do is, if you're just focused on meshing one or two parts, you can freeze everything else, and until you get those the way you want it, then unfreeze, right? So
right, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that was also one that stood out for me as well.
This time around, there's a lot of enhancements for like sheet metal and those types of workflows.
Why don't you talk about that a little bit? Because that was what struck me, is, and I'm not a sheet metal person, so it looks like a lot of enhancements in that area.
Right. The batch connections for shells and beams allow you to not have to do the shared topology in the CAD. So you don't have to have edges lined up, and you can have surfaces where another surface edge is in the middle of a surface. And the geometry itself doesn't have to connect, but the mesh itself will take those joints and make them connected, so you get a contiguous mesh across those. So in past versions, when you turned on that batch connection, it did it for the whole model. It was just, okay, I want to mesh this thing, go do it. And you had a tolerance that you could put in. So if there was a joint that had a gap bigger than that tolerance, then it wouldn't make it connected, but it would do it for the whole model. In this version, you can now, they've added a connect control. So when you turn on the batch connections, then you add a connect control that allows you to pick the geometry that you want to make the joints between.
Nice.
So on these large assemblies, you can go in and have more control over certain sections. You may want to join in one place, but not in another. Now you have that option. It seems to work really well. Basically, if you put in a connect control and said all bodies, then it would be just like it was before.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, they made a note in the presentations that if you open an older archive or an older version of the model that already has batch connections in it, that it will automatically add a connect to all bodies. So when you open it, it acts the same that it did before.
That's nice.
With the new control in there. So you don't have to go in and fix something that's not working or anything. So, and you can also control that on a worksheet level. So that connect control, you can, you can read in an Excel spreadsheet with all the connected joints and everything that you want. You can export that out and then read it back in. So these huge models, you're not having to go in and select joint by joint, but you can read in a spreadsheet that you already have.
Handy. Yeah, I know that a lot of people use third-party tools to do their sheet metal meshing or thin body meshing because these tools weren't there before. So this should get a lot of people who are maybe using those other tools to take another look at mechanical.
Yeah. Right. And they've also added, it's been there before. There's a repair topology inside that, the meshing itself. And in this version, they've added filling holes.
Nice.
The short edges. So basically ways to clean up your model without having to clean it up in the in the geometry itself.
Yeah, that's – well, you and I both used ISOM-CFD back in the day, and it was one of the key features in ISOM-CFD was this ability to do that. So it's good to see it in mechanical now. That's handy.
Yeah, and one thing I liked, in past versions, if you had the mesh big enough and your defeature tolerance small enough, you could walk over certain features. This with the repair topology, you don't have to have the mesh bigger than the feature. So in this case, like if you use the fill holes, you could end up with the node right in the middle of where the hole used to be, and it just meshes over. It doesn't have to stretch an element over the hole.
Good. Yeah. It's handy stuff. The kind of thing that you can spend a lot of time dealing with that you don't have to anymore. So, So the other thing I saw in there, and I'll have to really plead ignorance on this, because the last time I modeled a weld was in APDL, but it looks like some new enhancements in the weld controls as well.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so basically the weld controls let you take your sheet metal parts, and if they have a gap or anything, well, you can control the gap for one, but you can specify the edges and how ANSYS handles that weld. It'll drop shell elements to the connecting surface from an edge. And in this option now, they have different options for how those shells are dropped, either straight down or at a 45 degree angle, so that you can make what looks like your weld bead. So that you can go through and specify these welds again with the worksheet mode. You can specify everywhere that you want to weld very quickly on these huge assemblies. And I should point out one other thing with the batch connections. Is that in previous versions, your model could only be shells and beams.
Oh, yeah.
In this version now, you can have solid bodies in the model, which before you had to take all the solid bodies out. It wouldn't even let you turn on the batch connections if there was a solid in there. So it still won't connect to the solids. It doesn't do anything with the solids, but at least you can have them in the model and mesh those separately.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would be very frustrating. Yeah. And we're doing that. We're seeing that more and more, where parts of it are thin body and parts of it are thick body. And yeah. And
that's right. Exactly.
More common. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Wow. That's pretty useful stuff. Yeah. The weld geometry, I think, is one of those things, again, that you may be using a macro or a third party product for. Definitely want to take a look at how right. you can do it now in mechanical, because right. It's pretty cool.
One of the things that they've added is at that weld joint, you can tell it how many layers of quads to put around the joint.
Nice.
So basically, you know, in ISOM, the O-grids around, you can have up to 3 offset layers away from the joint. So you get a really nice mesh around the joint. And some of those third-party codes may not, you know, if you're just tying the joint together, those third-party codes may not do that, where here you get a nice clean mesh at the weld.
That's a really good point. And, you know, one of the reasons why we like to do that is because a lot of people have formulas and calculations that look at the stress gradients around these welds. So by putting this, if you're wondering why we care about these uniform layers around the weld, that's why. Is you not only do you get a kind of a consistent stress field, but you also can now linearize your stresses and do all those other calculations that you need to do in and around your joints. So,
right.
Pretty cool. Yep. I love it. Anything else in meshing world?
Yeah, a big enhancement for their smart fracture technology. Their smart, meaning separating morphing adaptive remeshing technology.
Yeah.
I always have impressive. To look it up. Yeah. In past versions, they've had this, and as the crack progresses, they remesh around the crack tip. And as it progressed through the model, you'd have a very fine mesh all the way along the crack face. So as your crack got bigger, your model size got bigger and bigger, and it ended up slowing down the analysis for the longer cracks. In this version, they now have an automatic recoarsening that follows the crack tip. So the crack tip is very fine and it gets remeshed along the way. But after the crack tip passes, then the fine mesh on the face gets recoarsened so that it speeds up the analysis tremendously. Where really you're doing the same element node count through the entire analysis because you're not refining all the way along the crack face.
Yeah, and I recommend people take a look at some of these pictures because it's kind of like a barbell where you've got refined mesh on either end, kind of two little circles where the right. crack tips are. If you've right. got two ends to if your crack is that kind of a crack. And yeah, I feel kind of silly because now that they've added that, I'm like, duh, well, that's a good idea.
Right.
I probably would have programmed it the same way where I left the mesh behind. So that's good. I'm glad they fixed that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big enhancement. So on the webinar, there's some great videos showing the crack expansion and how the mesh recoarsens. And then the other big change for the smart fracture is contacts are now non-bonded contacts, I should say, are now supported. So the contact still cannot be in the fracture zone, but like one of the videos is a gear,
right?
An opinion that as the gear slides, as the fracture gets bigger and bigger, that gear wants to slide up the tooth. That's now analyzable in ANSYS.
That's handy.
Where before you could only have bonded contacts in them.
Wow. It's again, and the gear is a great example, right? Because that stress concentration is right below the right at the root of the tooth, right? So I can think of a lot of situations where you've got localized contact and then a high stress nearby that's going to be your crack initiation. So, and that crack growth is going to change the stiffness. So it's going to change how contact behaves. So good, right. Good stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
So some big improvements there.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Anything else?
I'm scanning through the webinar. I think we covered most everything. Let's see. Yeah, because we talked about the freeze and unfreeze at the beginning to help allow allow you to kind of lock in the mesh for parts that once you're happy with the mesh.
Yeah.
And you don't have to remesh it. So
I think it's pretty key. These are good enhancements, and it's faster, and we haven't covered other tools, which we'll cover either in seminars or in podcasts, where meshing is getting better across the product range. So
right.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, they're always improving.
Yeah, they're definitely working on it. And you just gave a webinar on this, correct?
Yes, just last week.
Just last week. So, as if you're a regular listener, you know, we do these webinars on Bright Talk, and you can always listen to them recorded. You don't have to listen live. If you go to brighttalk.com and search for PADT or ANSYS, even, we're the only people on there with ANSYS content, you can find the webinars. And of course, meshing will get you to this one. It's great stuff. I'm excited about all the cool new things and just more capability at the hands of engineers, which is a good thing.
Yes, definitely.
Anything else you want to add before we take off?
No, I don't think so.
I think we're good. Good. All right. Well, thanks very much, Joe, for your time and sharing with us what you've learned. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Have a great day.
All right. Well, welcome back. I think that these changes, especially those around the thin part meshing, are going to make a lot of large models much easier to do, make life a lot simpler for a lot of people. Do check out the webinar at brighttalk.com or reach out if you have any questions. Since we just had Joe on and he coordinates our training efforts, let's talk about training for PADT for today's commercial. Training for ANSYS products has changed a lot in recent years. The biggest change is the ANSYS Learning Hub, a fantastic resource for online learning. If you're not familiar with the Learning Hub, a subscription gets you access to over 300 courses and virtual classes in multiple time zones. It also includes self-paced videos, along with a collection of many other support features, like learning rooms, access to ANSYS experts, blogs, and more. This is a great resource. But sometimes you need something more. And that is why companies have come to PADT and continue to come to PADT for years for our custom training on ANSYS products. Our experienced team, many of whom you've met on this very podcast, work to modify the material to meet your needs and deliver the classes the way you want and where you want. And during the classes, you have PADT's expertise with you in the real or virtual room to answer questions. So if you need ANSYS training, regardless of where you're located, contact us at info@padtinc.com, and Joe will be happy to learn more and develop the perfect solution for you. So moving on the news, let's take a look at the ANSYS stock, and it's not as far down as it was. It seems to be recovering. Back on March 8th, the stock dipped to $293.35, but now on the 19th, so 11 days later, it's closed at $324.25, so it's come back up quite a bit. I'll take a closer look at this month after this month ends and compare it to the other stocks in the same industry, Altair, Dassault Systèmes, Autodesk, and PTC, and let's see how it's faring against those as well as the broader indexes. In ANSYS news, kind of a big deal, I don't know, they've updated their website again. It's still in transition, so some of the older links don't work, but we find it really clean. It's less overwhelming. It seems to respond faster. I'm a big fan of the changes. So if you haven't checked out the ANSYS.com website in a couple months, do check it out. It's all been redone. And then I don't think I covered this, but if I did, I apologize. But ANSYS was named to Fast Company's annual list of the world's most innovative companies. This was, and rightfully so, in recognition of the ANSYS Discovery product. Now, to be honest, I think ANSYS had other noteworthy innovations in 2020. But I get that Discovery Live is something that resonates with business people and they can really understand and visualize the benefits of a tool like that. So, and it is truly innovative in the industry. So I get it. I get it. They're not going to give us an award for the new hypersonic capabilities, right? Not Fast Magazine anyway. And speaking of magazines, Fortune Magazine listed Ansys as number 41 in what they call their Future 50 list. These are companies that are making the future and will grow in the future because of that. And the other bit of news worth mentioning is that Ansys' CEO, Ajay Gopal, who's behind a lot of these advances and awards, did an interview on Bloomberg about the value of simulation and how it is advancing the autonomous vehicle development world. If you have not heard Ajay speak, I recommend that you take a look at that. The show is called What Did You Miss? And if you go to their website, you can find Ajay's thing there as well as on the Ansys website. On PADT News, we don't have anything to really share. Ansys blog, along with the website upgrade, the blog has a new look and feel. It's less magazine-like and more, well, bloggish, more like a standard blog. They have some great stories in there. Good pace going on this year. The three I picked are, the first one was a very cool story called Simulation Brings Electricity to Cameroon. And it's about how they used simulation fluid specifically to help bring electricity to that country. The next one I picked, the next two are kind of sporty related. The first one is called Predator Cycling Optimizes the Cycling Experience with Simulation. And they have these really cool bikes. And the article really focuses on using topological optimization to make one of the main frame parts. So it's a good example of a real world top op. And then the next one I picked, which is really cool and kind of right after the America's Cup ended, called Uncharted Waters. Simulation helps design what could be the world's fastest sailboat. So they're in the design phase right now, but they're going to try and get it done in time. And their goal is to achieve a world history-making average speed of 150 kilometers per hour. That's 93 for us, those of us who don't have made the conversion. So 93 miles per hour in a sailboat. And you have to do this over a 500-meter distance, and this is called the World Sailing Speed Record Council, and they're going to get it ready for the 2022 season, so they've got a little bit of time left. So this boat is going to go 2 to 3 times faster than the wind speed that it's in, and instead of a sail attached to it, it's got a kite surf wing, and then, of course, there's just no way to do that unless you use hydrofoils. So they're using Ansys to model all this. It's a really cool article, and I can't wait to see what happens. In our blog, the only thing that we put out there was the next chapter in A PADT Engineer in King Attaball's Court. I hope some of you got a chance to read the first chapter. This is our very silly and very poorly written novella about a CFD engineer named Ashley who enters the wrong batch command, and some crazy things happen. In chapter 2, we find her waking up in a new place in a new time. And she gets into a little bit of trouble and makes some new friends. In fact, the chapter is called New Friends. So if you haven't taken a read of that, please do go to our blog and check it out. Again, that's chapter 2. And I don't know how many they're going to be, probably 10 or so. So please join Ashley on her journey through time and space. Upcoming events. Let's see here. We've got, if you're in Texas, we partnered with Stratasys to take part in their tour of Texas. We are going with them in a very safe way as they take a trailer that they chocked full of 3D printers and 3D printed parts and are touring around the country. And Texas is the first state that we're in that they're doing this. Houston was this week that I'm recording this. We're going to be in San Antonio on the 22nd. Austin on the 25th, and Dallas on the 30th. So do go to our website /events, pdtinc.com/events, and you can get more information there and register to attend and check out the latest technology and printers. Also in March, we've got our next webinar, which is going to be on the 24th, and it's Additive and Structural Optimization Update in 2021 R1. So try and attend that if you can on Bright Talk. And you can go to the events page and learn more about it. In April, here in Arizona, we'll be at the MedTech Conference on the 15th, and then also Ansys Simulation World 2021, which is both of those are virtual events, and I can't believe it's less than a month away. Well, it's 1 day more than a month away when I'm recording this. So ANSYS Simulation World is coming up fast. A couple of our customers are presenting, and our very own Matt Sutton is going to talk about an ACT extension that he wrote as an example of using ACT. So do register for ANSYS Simulation World if you haven't already. Do go to our events page and register through our link so we get credit for it. We always appreciate that if you can do it that way. And that's it for today's podcast. The voice you hear in the background is Maggie. He is one of our two dogs. Or she is one of our two dogs, and there is a bird taunting her on the fence behind her that she's barking at. So I apologize for that. A little bit of realism in the middle of our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, www.padtinc.com/opt-in. And if you like this podcast, please subscribe to it at whatever podcast service you use to get your downloads. Do spread the word, let other people know about what we're doing here, and do not hesitate to reach out. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us for the All Things ANSYS podcast, episode 84. As a reminder, this podcast is not affiliated in any way with ANSYS Inc., and the opinions expressed are those of the people on the show only, and not of their current or former employers. For more information, visit www.padtinc.com/blog, and please share your thoughts and questions through an email to podcast@padtinc.com. See you next time.